Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Get 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Get started by heading to skillshare.com/AC to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. We are inundated with new data, information, emails, photos, articles, things to read, things to experience, news. We are inundated more than at any point in history. And yet, even with all of this awareness of what's going on around us, I think that we often struggle from a lack of true understanding of what any of it really means. Now, I'm speaking hyperbolically, of course. I mean, we do have some understanding of what it means, and we are able to form some patterns. But in order to form patterns, we need hooks to hang new information upon. Creativity, as Steve Jobs once quipped, is connecting things. It's forming patterns. It's seeing what's going on around us and applying those patterns to the problems that we're currently trying to solve until we begin to see new patterns emerge. And that's how we iterate. That's how we learn. That's how we come up with ideas. But in order to do that, we need dots to connect. And in order to connect them, we need time to synthesize. On today's show, I'm going to talk about the value of a practice that many of us probably engage in, but we don't realize we do, the value of note-taking. How can we use our notes and our journals, our notebooks, the tools that we use to capture ideas and insights to generate better ideas more consistently? We're going to talk about a couple of techniques for doing that. Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. Listen, if you want to thrive as a creative pro, you need to develop your skills. You cannot rely on yesterday's skills to solve tomorrow's problems. So many of us do this. And the reality is we get stuck in creative ruts. If you want to get out of that rut, you have to develop new skills, new ways of approaching the work. Skillshare is your partner in doing that. Getting out of that rut, staying creative is easier said than done, especially when you have a busy schedule. So why don't you connect with an old passion? Why don't you learn something new? Build something, fuel your creativity, and expand your creative fire with Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community for the creator in all of us. They have thousands of classes in illustration, graphic design, photography, creative writing, animation, music and music production, film and video, entrepreneurship, you name it. If you're looking for a skill that you want to develop or something that you want to learn, I guarantee you're going to find something to help you do that on Skillshare. The classes are on demand, so you can learn at your own pace. And this is the great thing about Skillshare. You don't have to show up Wednesday night at 8 p.m. at the local community college to learn something. You can learn it on your time, on your own time, whenever is convenient for you, at your own pace. So get inspired. You can join a class and create something that you'll love. I think I mentioned on a recent episode that I am getting back into music after a number of years kind of on hiatus. I used to play music professionally back in my 20s, and I've recently just become re-engaged with music in a new way. And I'm starting to get back into music production and to start think about some new music that I might want to record and whatnot. And Skillshare has a number of classes to help me think through music production and miking technique and other things that I'm going to need to apply in order to be able to record the music that I'm writing. And it can do the same thing for you. So get 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Join the millions of students who are already doing it. All you have to do is go to skillshare.com/AC to sign up. That's skillshare.com/AC to gain 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Skillshare.com/AC. And we thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Okay, there is a significant difference between information and wisdom. But in a culture that is obsessed with sound bites and snack bite media, wisdom is increasingly taking a backseat to perpetual stimulation. The danger in all of this is that we stop thinking what's best and we only think what's next. In his book, Birth of the Chaotic Age, Visa International founder Dee Hock shares some insights on how raw information is transformed by our minds into something more useful. Hock argues that noise becomes data when it's grouped into a pattern. And then you can identify a noticeable and memorable connection between bits of noise. And then at that point, once it becomes data, it becomes information when it's combined with other data in a way that's useful. And then information becomes knowledge when it's grouped together systemically in a way that helps us predict and make decisions. And then knowledge becomes understanding when it's combined systemically with other areas of knowledge in a way that helps us see more holistically, predict what's going to happen next and make decisions and see around corners and those kinds of things. But wisdom is understanding that's guided by some kind of code of ethics, right? And if you want to turn the noise in your environment into something useful, you have to develop systems for filtering stimuli and discerning which of it is most relevant to your work. But then you have to go a step further and actually learn to utilize that stimuli in your creative process in a meaningful way. The resulting benefit of a purposeful approach to stimuli is the ability to think more systemically and to cultivate a deeper understanding of the world at large. In other words, you begin to develop wisdom as you think on the things that you're experiencing, not just experiencing them. Just experiencing isn't helpful to you. It's not going to be useful to you unless you stop and reflect on it. So this begins with becoming more observant and capturing insights in the moment. So I want to share with you a practice from my book, The Accidental Creative. I want to talk about the importance of notation, of taking good notes. The goal of study is not just to absorb a lot of information. The goal of paying attention is not just to absorb information. You want to process and assimilate it and then apply it to your life and work. If you don't cultivate insights from what you take in, then the value of stimuli in your life decreases dramatically. Taking good notes on your observations, your insights, and your experiences with a reliable thought capture system prevents them from disappearing into the ether. So there are any number of ways to do this, but you know, how many times have you had a solution to a problem, you know, popped into your head and it seems so obvious to you, you thought there was no way you were going to forget it, and then you almost immediately did? This has happened to me too many times to count. This fleeting thought was often something critical to my work. And after getting burned this way a few too many times, I made a practice of taking regular notes throughout my day and carrying a small notebook, or now I carry index cards in my back pocket as a way to record insights and prompts that may be useful later. Now, we all know that note-taking is important, but usually our notes are limited to facts, to-dos, meeting outlines, and so on. While these kinds of notes are certainly useful, they're often shuffled into the back of a notebook or a file folder, and they're never looked at again. They're more notes of record than they are useful fodder for our creative process. So observations and insights, on the other hand, often go unrecorded. These include anything from questions that arise in the course of a meeting to intuitions that we have that we don't deem noteworthy because they aren't something that we think we'll be required to know later. So we might have an insight, an aha, but we don't write it down because we think, well, this isn't necessarily going to be useful later. It's unfortunate because these little insights could be seeds of brilliance. You need to cultivate an attitude of active listening, which includes actively listening to your own thoughts and your own responses in the moment to whatever you're experiencing. Many great creative minds of history have made a practice of voracious note-taking as a way of sorting their thoughts and processing their experiences. In his acclaimed biography of John Adams, David McCullough writes of Adams's habit of making notes in the margins of books. He wrote, "At times, the marginal observations nearly equaled what was printed on the page." And he gave the example of Mary Wollstonecraft's French Revolution, in which Adams read at least twice and with great delight, since he disagreed with nearly everything she said. To her claim that government must be simple, for example, he answered, "The clock would be simple if you destroyed all the wheels, but it would not tell the time of day." So Adams was not taking notes in the way that many of us have been taught, you know, which is by making lists or mindlessly underlining key passages. Rather, he was recording his own thoughts and reactions to the claims of the author. He treated books as a conversation rather than a monologue. Now, unlike Adams, many of us stop listening to our own thoughts and reactions when we're engaging with something external. We fail to realize that our instinctual reactions, if we learn to pay attention to them, can be indicators of something brilliant lurking just beneath the surface. Staying alert and paying attention to how you're reacting to an experience, a book, or a conversation also forces you to stay out of ruts that can prevent creative insights. Rather than mindlessly moving through your day, you can actively engage by learning to reflect on and ask questions about what's going on in your life, and you can record your responses. So here are a couple of questions that can serve as a starting point for making notes more effective. Number one, are there any patterns in what you're experiencing or what you're reading that are similar to something else you're working on? Often the solutions to problems come in the form of an analogy or a metaphor. So if you look for similarities between day-to-day experiences and the problems you're working on, you may find unexpected connections. And sometimes asking that question and taking notes about the answers that come to mind is a way of mining your experiences in your life for potentially useful connections. Number two, what do you find surprising about what you're experiencing? So if you're in the middle of an experience, what is it about this experience that's surprising to you? Surprise can be an indicator that an entrenched belief needs to be challenged. You should pay attention to surprises throughout your day because they may mark pathways to insight that are yet unexplored. Surprise reactions can also illuminate areas of curiosity for potential future study. What do you like about what you're experiencing and why? So exploring your personal preferences can be a great way to understand your habits or your creative tendencies. You should aspire to stay actively aware of your preferences. So just ask yourself, hey, what do I like about this? What I'm seeing right now, what I'm experiencing about this meeting, about this idea that was just introduced, what do I like about it? And take some notes about it. What do you dislike about it? Sometimes your reaction against something will yield helpful insights, especially if it reveals assumptions you're holding on to about the way things, quote, have to be. So what you need to be able to do, as F. Scott Fitzgerald so eloquently put it, is you need to be able to hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. This is what note-taking does for us. It allows us to capture how we're feeling, how we're thinking, and to process it in real time, even as we're trying to make up our mind about what we think. All right. So in addition to just making good observations and regularly recording them, you also should make a practice of regularly reviewing your notes to see if there are any potentially applicable insights. Many creative pros that I work with take copious notes. I mean, they're constantly writing things down, but they're practically useless because they're always moving on to the next urgent matter and they never take time to review them. You know, one manager I encountered had pages and pages of detailed notes on every meeting that she'd attended in the past month, one-on-one meetings, potential upcoming projects, but she never reviewed them because they weren't really useful. They only had facts and memorandums, but nothing really useful in her work, such as patterns she was noticing or creative ideas that emerged in the conversation. So I explained that, hey, you know, your notes would be more useful if you recorded what was actually useful and then make time in your life to reflect on them and look for applications in your work. So I encourage you, regardless of, by the way, some people take notes in their phone, some people take notes on a notebook. You know, I tend to carry an iPad with me with an Apple Pencil, and I tend to handwrite, but I keep them, you know, on my iPad, like in notebooks on my iPad. But regardless of the technique that you use to take notes, I encourage you to build time into your life consistently and preferably take 5 to 10 minutes a day at the beginning of your day or at the end of your day to review your notes from the previous day. Just as a way to refresh yourself of what you experienced, you know, often we go from day to day and we just kind of wash the day off of us. You know, when we're finished with the day, we just kind of wash it off of us. And as a result, you know, we sometimes forget key insights, things that we felt throughout the course of the day, strong intuitions that we had. We just forget about them because we're just moving on to the next thing. And there could be something healthy about just moving on to the next thing, but that often means that we lose track of ideas and insights that we had yesterday. So I encourage you to take a few minutes at the beginning or the end of the day just to look over your notes, review them. Oh, I forgot I had that idea in that meeting. Oh, I forgot how that conversation made me feel in the moment. Oh, I forgot that I didn't like that thing that we talked about. And maybe I should think about that some more and understand why I don't like that idea so that I can make an argument to my manager, right? Or whatever the case may be. Spend some time reviewing your notes. Author Keith Ferrazzi once told me in an interview, he spends an average of about an hour each day thinking about and processing information that he's taken in the previous day. He believes that processing information is as critical as the information he takes in. Now listen, while not all of us can spend that much time purely in processing mode, and I get it, the principle holds true that we're overlooking the real benefit of our experiences if we never stop to reflect on them. So take time each day to review your notes and observations from the previous day. So the core principle here, friends, is pay attention not just to the facts, the figures, the things going on in the meeting, the things going on with the client, Pay attention to your responses to those things. Pay attention to little hunches you have, little intuitions that pop up in the midst of the meeting, ideas that you have that seem irrelevant in the moment. Pay attention to those things. Record them. Write them down. Put them in your notebook. Review them later. Why? Because these are the dots that we connect to turn data into wisdom. Right? But it only happens if we pay attention, if we process, if we think about what does this mean? What does this mean for me? What does this mean for our work? What does this mean for our team? It's only going to be effective for you if you pay attention to the patterns that are forming. And that will only happen if you not only take good notes, but also routinely review those notes. All right, I encourage you to do this. And if you want to know more about this, you can find out more in the chapter that's called Stimuli in my book, The Accidental Creative, which came out in 2011. Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time. Bye.